We saw that Bhagavan Adi Shankaracharya ji is telling us that the path to moksha starts with sannyas. But when you reach that level, or when you are realizing the truth, you don't need to go through a lot of process, because it seems that satsanga to nissanga to nirmohatva and then to jivan mukti is a process. But there is no process. Knowledge is instantaneous. The moment we have the knowledge, that moment itself, self-realization happens. So then Bhagavan explains that through vayasigate kaha kama vikara. There is a cause, there is an effect. If you remove the cause, the effect is no longer valid. So the cause for this samsara is ignorance. And you cannot use any process to remove the ignorance. You can reduce the effect of the ignorance, but still you are in the ignorance. So the only thing you have to do is know. The moment we come to know, ignorance is no longer there. And then self-realization is self-evident. Nothing else is required to make that happen. Therefore, one must strive for knowledge. Now the same idea Adi Shankaracharya ji explains with a different way. So that we will see today. Ma kuru dhana jana yovana garvam. Harati nimeshat kala sarvam. Maya maya midam akhilam buddhva.
Maya maya midam akhilam buddhva.
Brahma padam tvam pravisha viditva. From the beginning together. Ma kuru dhana jana yovana garvam. Harati nimeshat kala sarvam. Maya mayam idam akhilam buddhva. Brahma padam tvam pravisha viditva. Bhaja govindam. Govindam bhaja mudhamate. The first response is ma kuru dhana jana yovana garvam. Do not be proud of the dhana, jana and yovana. So first let's understand how these three can give pride. When we have wealth, wealth gives us that sense of security, the sense of achievement, accomplishment. To an extent, also gives us power. So because of this, one feels that I am the one who made all of this possible. Then the gurutva or the ownership of the wealth comes. So obviously one would be arrogant about it. And then yovana. Jana. Jana is the desire for, not desire, but the association with people that gives us the feeling of fame. If a husband is there but has no father or no son, then feels like there is nobody who is going to take my name forward. Nobody will carry my name. When you have a progeny, then you're like, yes, I have somebody who will take this name forward or will make this name shine even more. And then as that name shines, they will remember me because I am the father of this child. So this concept is there. Or jana can mean the idea of, you know, people following somebody. You're a leader of some place and then you have people looking up to you. So then that is a followership. Again, it gives you fame. It gives that ability of recognition. So obviously when you get a fame, you will have garva. You will have that pride. Yes. And then yovana. In the youth, we are able to accomplish many things. Those things that people tell us you cannot do, we revolt and say, no, I will do. I will show you I can do. And everybody wants to be in the youth. Nobody wants to be in the other stages. When we are in the balyavastha, we want to grow old. We add number to our age. And when we are in the vriddhavastha, we reduce the number of the age. We want to be in that middle stage. So everybody will have this feeling of pride in these three things. Because of this, samsara is there. If you don't have it, then samsara is not there. So in order to continue the samsara, these three are needed. But now Adi Shankaracharya says, do not have a pride in any of these three. So how should our pride be when it comes to these three things? Because dhana, jana, yovana, it will give pride. But he's saying not to have pride, then what to do with them? Not to have wealth, not to have jana, not to have yovana. We should have them, but we should be detached also with them. We should not get swayed away in such a way that our bhajan goes away from us. Our worship for Bhagwan, our devotion to Bhagwan, our actions that we perform to show our karma yoga for Bhagwan, that also should not go away. One example is of Harishchandra. King Harishchandra, he had everything. And one day, he disturbed the peace of Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was doing tapas. Harishchandra belonged to the lineage of Vasishtha. He comes from that lineage. Now, if you know, Vasishtha and Vishwamitra have a fight. So they are not liking each other. Well, Vishwamitra finds out. So Vishwamitra says, how dare you break my tapas? Now you have to pay for it. Says, give me all your kingdom. Harishchandra says, fine, the whole kingdom is yours. Says, that's not enough. I also want you to realize the mistake that you made. So for that, you give me money. Says, I gave you all my kingdom. I have nothing left. What can I give you? Says, I don't care. You promised, you will give. So Harishchandra is a truthful person, Satyavadi Harishchandra. So then he auctions off his wife and son. So dhana also gone, jana also gone. But he's not thinking twice. Can I do it? Should I do it? I promised Vishwamitra. So I have to do it, no matter what. And therefore he even auctions off the children, or not the children, the child and the wife and himself. So this is the test, that when somebody says you're ready to drop it or not. And that's what we should be checking. That detachment that we have is, if I were to be told that today you dropped all of this, dhana, jana, yovana. Will I be ready to drop it? Or will I ask for more time? Will I want to enjoy more of it before I drop it? And that is what Adi Shankaracharya ji is saying. Is learn or find a way to become more and more dispassionate towards these things. Because they will not come in our aid. The only thing that will come is the name of the Lord, the worship of Lord, the understanding of who Bhagwan is. That is what will come to help. So dhana, jana, yauvana. If you think about yauvana, one really good example is Hanumanji. During the time when they were searching for Mother Sita. So one group went to the southern tip or to the southern direction of Bharat. So when they were traveling in the southern direction, they came and they realized that this is it, end. There is no going further. So they were all ready to commit suicide. At that time, Sampati comes and says, good, die sooner. I will have food. Says, what a ruthless person you are. One vulture that we knew was ready to help, and you are the one who is. And like that, he comes to realize that, oh, you know Jatayu. And then he finds out the news, and then he tells them about Sita ji, who is on the other side of the shore in the Sri Lanka. So at that time, everybody is now debating who will go there. Because monkeys have the ability to jump. So they can jump. Somebody is saying, if I jump, I will only land in the middle of the water. I cannot jump. And some said, I can jump all the way, but I don't know if I will come back. And some said, I will come back, but I don't know what condition I will be in if I come back. I don't know if I will have enough energy to say any message also afterwards. So like that, everybody starts saying one thing or another. And Hanumanji was peacefully sitting, not even saying anything. So that's what a youth is. One who has the ability, but is not showing off the ability. Hey, I can jump. Forgot? I jumped all the way across to the moon, to the sun. So this is nothing. This is Sri Lanka. I can jump in my dream and then come back also. With ease. Without any effort. So Hanumanji doesn't show pride like that. And when Jamvanji then tells him, at that time he says, I will do it. You probably have heard, right? And then many times people say that it is because he was wanting the others to show off. Then nobody can say, Hanuman is always the first one. We never get the chance to say anything. Now everybody has exhausted their ideas, so they can't blame Hanumanji. So patience. So when youth is there, patience is required. And then another thought is, when a youth is there, advice is also should be taken. And if the advice comes, one should evaluate the advice also, not just take any advice. But advice should be also heard and followed. We find that many youths don't follow advice. I know better. I have seen the world. You have not seen the world at all. You are still living in your age. I am living in my age. So this is all the argument that we find. So we need to learn how to take advice also as a youth. One good example is of Bhagavan Krishna. The the time was of the fight between Jarasandh and Krishna. That Jarasandh was so angry at Krishna because he killed Kamsa that he is now has vengeance. And he had captured many kings also. So he gets a letter from a spy saying that all these kings are very distressed and they want you to go and rescue them. And at the same time, there's another letter that comes from Yudhishthira, who says that we are doing a Rajasuya Yajna and we would like if you can be present there. So now, they have their assembly, everybody's gathered, and Krishna asks, what should we do? We can't be at two places simultaneously. I mean, I can be. He doesn't say it, but he asks everybody, what can we do? What should we do? Give us ideas. So Balaram is there. What is Balaram going to say? Says, the only yajna that we have to attend is the war. The war is the greatest yajna. Forget about Yudhishthira. Let's go and fight. Now, we know Balaram, very aggressive. And if he says, somebody says something else, nobody has that courage to say that. So then everybody is quiet. Nobody's saying anything. So Krishna asks Uddhava, uncle. So Krishna's uncle, he asks, what do you think, Uddhavji? So Uddhavji says, I don't agree with Balaram. I don't think that we should go and fight. Because if we go and fight, the whole community and the kings will think that the Yadav Kula are always looking for trouble. Wherever their business is not there, they still go and stick their nose in there. We will have a bad name for this. And if you think about it, Jarasandh will become our enemy. And he will try to find ways to disturb us and the people of Dwarka. So we should not go and fight. But what we should do is we should go to Yudhishthira and in his Rajasuya Yajna and take part. Because what is Rajasuya Yajna? Is where the king does a yajna to spread his rulership, his way of ruling the kingdom. And those small places or those big kings, they become allies and they rule again under the same guidance, same principles. And those who don't follow, then they have to fight. And whoever is the winner, they win. So now if you bring allies together, then you have to kind of forgo your thing and you have to align with them, otherwise you will be defeated. So he says that if a Rajasuya Yajna is happening, we are ready to accept all the terms that Yudhishthira is going to say, because he's dharmic, we are dharmic. There is nothing that he's going to say will be out of line of what we are doing. So we will easily accept it. But the Rajasuya Yajna, the horse will go to Jarasandh also. And Jarasandh will definitely not accept the terms. At that time, we can take an army and fight and finish him off. So he gave the idea. Krishna's like, yes, let's do it that way. And they went, they did the Rajasuya Yajna, but then they didn't take the army to Jarasandh. It was only Krishna, Bhima, and Arjuna. They went to Jarasandh and then had a fight, just a duel, and finished Jarasandh off right there. So without fighting, without destroying any enemy or army, he finish the work. But the idea is that when an advice is given, A king listens to the advice from everybody. Instead of being prejudiced or being under the impression that I am a king, I know better. We learn that from Sri Krishna. That as a youth, learn to accept advice. So, Ma Kuru Dhana Jana Yauvana Garvam. And Adi Shankaracharya says, why? Harati Nimeshat Kala Sarva. If you don't give up, the time will take it away from you. So, as it is going to come and it is going to go away. So, better give up with your willpower, then the time takes it away from you. And at that time, you will feel even more distressed. Because you wanted to be more attached, the time took it away from you, you're going to be more sad. But when you gave it up, you have no longer attachment. Even if the time takes it away from you, you will not feel sad. So know the nature of all of these, dhana, jana, yovana, they're temporary. And time takes it away from us. Another way to think about is, maya mayam idam akhilam buddhva. Buddhva, knowing it or understanding it to be filled with maya. And there's another patha you will always see if you have another text. Hitva. Maya mayam akhilam hitva. Hitva means destroying it. Destroying it, considering that it is maya. Other one is knowing that it is maya. So knowing it is maya, give it up. Give up the garva of dhana jana yovana. So first, what is maya? Maya is that which is not, it presents it to be that. So it creates a magical illusion in front of us and it presents it that way. And another is, it gives sorrow. Because we were thinking the whole time that this is going to give me this, but it never gives me that. So therefore it gives me always sorrow. This is what the nature of maya is. You look at dhana, you look at jana, you look at yovana. It promises so many things, but of those promises, it doesn't give us happiness. It may bring us different things, but at the end, it just gives sorrow. Therefore, knowing it as this way, knowing it as maya, we need to give it up. So, maya mayam idam akhilam buddhva. There's another good story you all know of Alexander the Great. So he conquered the whole kingdom of, I don't know, Babylon. I don't know where from he was. Babylon, right? So he conquered all of that. He traveled all the way from Afghanistan, Pakistan, comes to India, comes to the northern region of India. And somebody had told him that if you go to India, you must bring a sadhu from in India. So, you know, he had all this pride. He had the pride of dhana because he conquered the whole of, you know, continent that he was in. He had jana, people, so many people following him. Yauvana. He was in his prime age. So he had the pride of all of this. He comes to India and he meets a sadhu and he says, I want to take you back. He says, the sadhu says, you will never catch me. So this Alexander is thinking, what do you mean I will never catch you? Do you know who I am? I'm Alexander the Great. I'll catch you in a second. Obviously, the sadhu was not talking about the body. He's talking about the atma. You will never catch my atma. Because you and I are the same. From this level, he was thinking. And he was telling him. Now then, the sadhu asked him a question. You know, you have traveled all over the land. And I'm sure you must have traveled through the desert also. Imagine that you're traveling through this desert and you find no water at all. There is no water at all. Just imagine that there is no water. Don't even imagine that somebody will bring you water. You are all by yourself and you are traveling. Obviously, you have your people. Obviously, you have your wealth and everything and the kingdom. But you are traveling and you are stranded and you are looking for water. Thirsty as water. I mean, thirsty for just a glass of water. You come to me and I have a glass of water. What will you do for this? To get that glass of water, what will you do? So Alexander says, whatever you tell me, I will do. For that glass of water, whatever you ask me, I will do. So he says, the sadhu says, will you give me your entire kingdom? He says, if that is the only thing that I require, just a glass of water, and that depended on my life, I will give you everything that I have earned for this glass of water. So then the sadhu says to him, O Alexander, all you have achieved in life is equivalent to that glass of water. There is nothing in this life that you have achieved that is so significant. It is just as much as this glass of water. This is how much your kingdom means to me. This is how much your achievement means to me. It is useless against the preciousness of life. And then he says that by the time you reach, you will find death. Meaning, in the way only, you will die. So obviously that's what happens. As he's going back, he develops some kind of diarrhea and something chronic, I guess. Cholera. Okay. So he develops a very bad disease and none of the doctors could help him. So finally he realizes that my time has come to go away. And then he says to everybody who is there, that when you take my funeral, make sure my hands are sticking out and they're open. I want the world to know that Alexander the Great, who conquered everything, is going empty-handed. This is the idea. That when you consider this whole world to be a Maya, you know that you have not accomplished anything. And there is nothing that you can accomplish because the whole thing is Maya. What can you accomplish? So Maya Mayamidam Akhilam Buddhva Brahma Padam Tvam Pravisha Viditva. Knowing Viditva Buddhva kind of mean the same. But as soon as you know that this is Maya, you have to know that behind the Maya is the Mayapati. Behind the Maya is this infinite substratum, the Brahman. And as soon as you remove that ignorance, you will enter into this Brahmapada. But you require knowledge. You cannot just enter like that. One is the knowledge to remove the ignorance. The other is the knowledge that I am the infinite substratum. I can remove the ignorance. I can be telling myself this whole time that I'm living the ignorance. But that doesn't make me mukta. That doesn't make me free, because I have not discovered who I am. I have not discovered my identity. So one is to discover that identity, another is to remove the ignorance. So Brahma Padam Tvam Pravisha Vidittva. Therefore, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam. Having explained this much, then Adi Shankaracharya ji takes upon that idea of Harati Nimeshat Kalah Sarvam. The time takes away this entire thing. See the nature of this and be wise. So let us look at that verse also. If I make a mistake, correct me. I don't remember the whole shloka, but I will try. Dinayaminyau sayam pratah. Shishira vasantau punarayatah. Kala kridati gacchati ayuhu.
Kala kridati gacchati ayuhu.
Tadapi namunchati asha vayuhu. Dinayaminyau sayam pratah. Shishiravasantau punarayatah. Kalah kridati gacchatyayuhu. Tadapi namunchati ashavayuhu. Bhajagovindam, bhajagovindam. Govindam bhaja mudhamate. So having explained that all of this is filled with desire, give up the desire because the time will take away, showing the essence of this time, that one feels, I have time in my hand, and with this time I will be able to accomplish the things that I have set forth in my life. The to-do list that we create for our entire life. Want to go bungee jumping once in my life. Want to do skydiving once in my life. Want to visit this place once in my life. All of these to-do list that we have done, and then at the bottom will be, want to do meditation. So this to-do that we have done with the understanding that, oh, let me enjoy my life, and then at the end of that period, I will focus. Especially this, if you think about the context that it had started, there's a guy who is sitting, actually in the book it is showing he's lying upside down and doing Dukran Karane, Dukran Karane. So that person who is a mudha, he's telling him that dinya minyau sayam pratah. Dinya minyau. Dina, day. Mina, night. The day and night, sayam pratah. The sandhya, the dawn and dusk. Sayam pratah. Shishiraha vasantah. Shira, winter time, vasantha, spring. Punaha ayata. So the time continues to do its round. Today it comes, tomorrow it goes. And like that, time continues to do its job. Kalaha kridati gacchati ayo. The time plays and the age ebbs. Starts going away. Tadapi namunchati asha vayu. So if one thinks that this desire, this feelings of attachment towards this world will subside on its own without me doing, because the time itself will take it away. Right? Because if somebody understands dana jana yovana garvam harati nimeshat kala sarvam, so when the time takes it away, I will be fine. I don't have to do anything because time will take it away from me. There's no tadabhina munchati asha vayu, the gust, the vayu, wind, the gust of wind, which is filled with desire, asha. Asha means hope, but asha also means desire. So this gust of desire doesn't go away, even if the time goes away. This is what we must understand. There is a very nice example that is given by Yudhishthir. And in this example, this is that conversation that Yudhishthir has with Yaksha. Yes. And one of the questions that Yaksha asks, that ka varta, what is the news or what is the story? So here is Yudhishthira's response about that. Asmin mahamoha maye kataye suryagnina ratri divendhanena matsarya no masarstu darvi parighattanena bhutanikala pachatiti varta. So he says, this mahamoha kata, kata means a pan or a vessel, like a kadai, you know, where you fry things like that. So this samsara is like this kadai, which is made of mahamoha, the great delusion. The samsara is like that, a pan which is filled with moha. And then what is the fire? Suryagni. The fire is the sun. And what is the fuel that is making this kadai, you know, or making the sun burn? So, ratri diva, indhanena. Indhana is a fuel. Ratri, night. Diva, day. So, this fuel is the moving of the the moving of the day and night. And then each day the sun comes, sunset, sun comes, sunset. And we are in this big pan. Then masaha tu darvi. Masaha is the months. Darvi is a ladle, you know, like the spoon that we use. Masaha tu darvi parighattanena. Parighattana is to stir. Bhutani pachati. Pachati. Bhutani means all the beings. All of us and every other beings that are there in this creation. Pachati is being cooked. Kalaha pachati. The time is the cooker. So we are in this pan where the sun is the fire, the day and night are the fuel, the months and the time that passes by is using as a ladle to stir us all up and cooking us day in, day out. And still we feel that we are going to enjoy the happiness of this world. And then with that happiness we will feel so good. And then we feel that we will last that happiness forever. But this is what we don't realize. That even though we have these desires, we have to work on them to reduce them. Without working on them, we will never reduce them. Without even understanding. So if you want to reduce them, you can work on them, or you can understand that these desires are moha. These desires are only going to cause me more and more grief, and then also I can give it up. Whichever is an easier path for us to give it up, we should try. But without putting that effort, it will not go away. Therefore, we must put that effort. And an easier way to start is to say bhaj govindam, govindam bhajam vodamate. We have come to our time also. So we'll see more of this in our coming week. But the idea is that with these, I think these are 13 shlokas? 12. Huh, 12. Correct. Hey, 12? This is number 12. Did they count Bhaj Govindam also as the first shloka? Okay. Okay, so. So I believe these 12 are the Dwadasha Manjarika Stotram, or the 12 shlokas that were chanted by Adi Shankaracharya ji himself. Then some of the other verses were spoken by his disciples. Or I think this may be the penultimate, maybe not the last one. Yeah. So whatever it is, we'll see in our next class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.